Welcome to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Coming up on today's show,
travel legend Arthur Frommer and his daughter Pauline join us. You'll find out the biggest travel bargains in our U.S. of A.
We're going to find out the inside scoop on the new Harry Potter Wizard World place in Universal Studios.
We're going on the road to New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast with our tour guy, Clayton Whitehead.
And we're going to find out if, in fact, the Super Bowl has brought back the magic to New Orleans.
Maybe a surprise or two along the way. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks out on Route 66. Let it roll.
Let it roll. We're on the road again. Welcome. This is the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Hoffman.
Yes, you are.
I was almost Tom Romano at the same time.
Well, that's okay. Every Travel Guys show is going to include, of course, the travel news. And with the travel news, ladies and gentlemen, Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman.
Airlines are not good recycling partners. This report was issued by ResponsibleShopper.org. The report admitted that the airlines are taking steps to reduce their waste, but they could do much more. They could recycle nearly 500 million more tons of waste each year, including 250 million tons of in-flight waste.
Some of that was mine. I admit it.
No airline recycles all of its aluminum cans, glass, plastic, or paper. The report said no airline provides good public information about the recycling program or reports out on progress in relation to any stated goals. Snacks on planes are overpackaged, as are meals, and no airline is working with manufacturers to reduce the waste. Delta Airlines scored the highest, recycling approximately 20% of its trash.
Meals? Where does, I've not seen a meal on an airplane. What is that, like international travel?
Yeah,
right?
Or if you get on Continental Airlines, they're the last people to still be serving meals. So if you go down to Houston with Continental, you can get what serves as airline. You know what's funny about airline food, Tom? Everybody complained about it when we had it, and then when it went away, everybody complained about the fact that it went away. United and U.S. Airways do the worst job of recycling. Virgin America, Virgin Atlantic, and Southwest are also recycling about 20%.
Well, if they've ever seen my luggage, they would try to recycle it, I know.
In the I Wish I Had a Travel Agent department, post-earthquake in Chile, travelers who had a real-life person to communicate with had the easiest time getting out of the country. According to travelers who were stuck on a Princess Cruise Line ship on the coastline near Santiago, quote, it was bedlam on the ship with people trying to make arrangements. Those who could call or email their travel agent got home a day or two or three quicker than those who booked directly with an airline or had the ship's air arrangements. Something to think about perhaps next time you travel.
No bedlam.
Earth Hour is adopted by Fairmont Hotels. Fairmont Hotels and Resorts will participate in Earth Hour, a global event organized by the World Wildlife Fund to raise awareness about climate change. It takes place March the 27th. At 8:30 p.m. that night, all 60 of Fairmont's landmark hotels and resorts around the world will turn off their lights for 1 hour. Hotel guests will be encouraged to participate.
1 hour. Let's see. What date is that?
That's the 27th of March.
I wonder how many babies will be born 9 months from that
27th
day.
Of December.
There you go.
Delta and JetBlue want exemptions from the new 3-hour tarmac rule from the Department of Transportation because the runway at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York is being redone. They said the closure of the main runway could mean extensive delays. The new rule goes into effect April the 29th. The runway was closed on March the 1st and is already causing problems. It will take 4 months to complete the work on the runway. JetBlue, one of the major carriers at JFK, said it will inform passengers before boarding that significant delays may be encountered because of runway closing, and it will ensure each of its aircraft is stocked with sufficient food and beverages to accommodate delays. In addition, lavatories will be made available and live TV will be provided to passengers on each aircraft.
Wow, 3-hour movie and meal while we watch them resurface the runway.
Mile High Club on the ground. The TSA is finally getting a leader. The Transportation Safety Administration, which had been without a leader for over a year, is finally getting one. Robert Harding, a retired major general with 33 years in the Army, has been nominated to become the TSA administrator. He has no ties to civil aviation or union leaders, concerns that caused the president's first nominee to remove himself from consideration in December. And, Tom, this is could be be of interest to you.
Mm-hmm.
Flight attendants want combat training.
Oh, yeah.
The Association of Flight Attendants has asked Congress to fund combat training as part of a four-point plan that the union says would improve security inside aircraft cabins. The LA Times reports the plan includes mandatory hand-to-hand combat training for all crew members.
Wow.
Portable communications devices that would allow attendants to speak with pilots during emergencies, a standard maximum size for carry-on luggage so that flight attendants can look for suspicious passengers instead of struggling with oversized carry-on bags.
Well, I've run into a couple of flight attendants that it would be okay if they tried to mug me. I don't know if that counts.
Naked x-rays are coming to Sacramento. In an announcement this week, the TSA says it has begun rolling out 150 backscatter imaging technology units. That means naked scanners with x-rays.
I don't think I would want that job. I mean, how does that work? Guy sits in another room with a two-way mirror and a TV?
Well, he sits no two-way mirror. He sits in another room with watching the screen,
he or she sees something,
then they hit the button, and that's what causes them to then to do a more thorough, I guess, a cavity search or something like that.
When they see something, what does that mean?
Sacramento is on the list. We will have these little babies in Sacramento. At least one of them, you can bet, in Terminal B before too long.
Can you arrange for us to have an interview with one of the scanner watchers, so that we can find out what that job's like?
Yeah, we'll get the TSA guy and see if we can find out. Really, we're teasing here, but I don't think it's anything to be all that concerned about.
No.
I mean, I realize that there are some privacy issues, but the reality is that I don't mind if somebody looks at my body for a second and a half if it means that I'm safe on the airplane. Now, if it doesn't, why, then that's a different issue. And finally, here's on a lighter side, Air Canada experienced their most unusual flight delay in 72 years of existence. The airline was forced to delay a flight from Vancouver during the Olympic gold medal hockey game because passengers were watching the end of the game on airport televisions and ignored repeated calls to board the flight.
There you go. You know, there's power in numbers. If everybody says, let's stay and watch the game, they're going to hold the plane.
That's all the news that's fit to report when we come back on the Travel Guys. We're going to be speaking to our tour guide, Clayton Whitehead, is going to tell us about New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast and his recent visit there.
This is the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK. Welcome. This is the Travel Guys, the show about what you need to know before you go. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, why don't you introduce our special guest today?
Absolutely. A new feature of the Travel Guys this week is the Road Report. And Clayton Whitehead is here for the first Road Report. And Clayton has recently returned from a visit to New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And
is this where I'm supposed to sing jambalaya?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Clayton is here to fill us in on the status of New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And Clayton, I know that when you went down there with a group of Sacramentans, you found things to be not exactly the way that you expected them, good, bad, and otherwise.
Exactly, Mark. Well, first of all, you have to attribute a lot of the success of the city to the Saints' big win in the Super Bowl here a few weeks ago. It's given the city a shot in the arm. A whole new energy prevails across the city. But it's impossible to look at New Orleans today without also thinking about the Katrina story. Of course, Katrina came along August 29th, 2005, and completely rewrote the history of the entire area. This was my third trip since Katrina, and things are just getting better and better with every visit.
So the French Quarter, somebody told me, Tom, that after the Super Bowl, the party started about the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
There you go.
And then it didn't stop until the end of Fat Tuesday.
Actually, it had not stopped when I was there, which was about a week after Mardi Gras ended. It was still going strong.
So the French Quarter section of New Orleans is... Did you find it to be? I mean, this is the part that people know the most.
Certainly. The French Quarter area and downtown along Canal Street looks the same as it always did, except maybe for the fact that everything got a new coat of paint at precisely the same time. This is the highest part of the city, and this was the area least affected by the floods. Of course, they had wind and some water damage, but no significant flooding in the downtown or in the French Quarter areas.
So what about the greater New Orleans?
Well,
area?
Now that's a horse of a different color. Of course, we all have those TV images in our mind about the Ninth Ward and all the other areas that suffered so terribly from flooding. This was my first trip to New Orleans since the storm that I actually visited the Ninth Ward. It was my feeling on previous visits that you know, people's pain and suffering and loss is not a tourist attraction. And I felt very strongly about that. And I didn't want to go to the Ninth Ward. I'd never been there before, and I didn't go there on previous visits. But now there's something to see there, and it's this incredible rebirth, which is being spearheaded, oddly enough, by the entertainer Brad Pitt.
And so all the dollars that people have put in and all the publicity that we've seen has had a positive effect.
Absolutely. Brad Pitt, what some people may not know is that Brad and Angelina and their family actually live in New Orleans. They have their primary residence in the French Quarter. And they say that Brad got quite frustrated with the lack of action that was going on, the lack of rebuilding, the lack of reconstruction and rejuvenation that was going on, especially in the impoverished lower Ninth Ward. So in 2007, he formed the Make It Right Foundation with quite a bit of his own money, and of course using his celebrity pull to bring in other resources, and hired a team of 13 architects. They've designed 150 unique homes, and the building has begun. 15 houses are off the ground, are occupied. More are under construction now, and it's just a great thing to see that finally, positive forward action is happening down in that district.
Our guest is Clayton Whitehead. This is Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano. You're listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk KFBK. Clayton, it would be safe to say then that the spirit of New Orleans has returned?
I think the spirit is back. They're still lacking a lot. Of course, a lot of the population left and never came back. So the population of the city is low, and a lot of that population that left are the jazz musicians and the people that provided important services to the tourism industry. So the tourism infrastructure is still in a rebuild, but I think only positive days lie ahead for these folks.
So the musical feel of the quarter has changed a little bit from being such a heavy accent on jazz because these jazz musicians, as you said, have gone and not returned, and they've been replaced by?
By country and western and rock and roll. I guess that's what's paying the bills today in the French Quarter. Now, there's still Preservation Hall on St. Peter Street, the venerable old jazz hall. What I did find, though, very positively, was that a number of the big hotels along Canal Street have stepped up their contribution to the musical scene. Many of them are now having jazz musicians in their bars. At least one hotel I saw every night of the week, others on selected nights. So perhaps the emphasis is shifting a little bit from Bourbon Street and into a more civilized setting of a hotel bar or lounge, but I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Now, from talking to people that want to travel to New Orleans, based on the kind of experiences that you've had recently, Clayton, would you recommend that they wait if they're looking for that real New Orleans jazz traditional feel, or is there still a lot to offer? It just has a different texture.
I think there's a lot there, Tom. You just have to look a little harder for it. You're not just going to find it as you walk up and down Bourbon Street anymore. And like I say, I don't know that that's a bad thing. I personally would rather listen to good jazz music in a civilized setting where I'm in a comfortable chair and drinks come to me in, you know, glass, not plastic.
But if all of the debauchery of Bourbon Street is gone, I mean, New Orleans will...
Well, I didn't say the debauchery was gone, just maybe some of the jazz. Okay. There's still plenty of fun or otherwise to be had on Bourbon Street.
Clayton, your travels also took you up to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which had up around Biloxi, there were a lot of casinos that were right on the water. If folks recall, when the storm came in, the famous picture of the casino that was lifted literally up and moved across the street and dumped on top of another building. What did you find in the Mississippi Gulf Coast area?
Now, this was my first visit to Gulfport and Biloxi since the storm, and it was shocking. I was expecting vacant lots. I was expecting rebuilding. I was expecting to see old things that had been reconstructed. What I saw was block after block after block of vacant territory. It was surreal. But right in the middle of all that was this incredible casino district. The state of Mississippi had a true reason and a motivation to get those casinos back up and operative as soon as possible. And the state, right, wrong, or otherwise, financed those casinos to get them open again, not only to bring the tourists back, but because they're an important employer of the local people.
So casinos perhaps are not the best thing to build an economy on, but in this case, certainly, you use what you have available to you.
Exactly. The seafood industry has just lost so much power in that area, and not just because of the storm, but because of changing economics. Biloxi was once the seafood capital of the world. More seafood was exported from that town than any other place on the planet, only about 20 or 30 years ago. But there's been this huge paradigm shift because of environmental issues, and you could go on and on. Now, casinos are the name of the game there. Tourism, casinos, and it's back. it's back. It absolutely looked beautiful down there, but there's a lot of real estate for sale. If anybody wants oceanfront property, this is the time to go get it.
You're listening to The Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano, and we're talking with Clayton Whitehead, who's giving us a road report on New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Clayton, in the time we have left here, someone who is thinking about going to that area, are people going to pay more or less in New Orleans?
I would say New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast are on sale right now. You can pay low three digits and even double digits for 4- and 5-star hotels if you go when they need the business. Now, New Orleans especially is a convention-driven city. So if you go in the middle of some big citywide, obviously you're going to pay top rates. What I suggest, especially if the traveler has a bit of flexibility, is simply call the hotel. Don't speak to their 800 number, but call the hotel directly and say, hey, when do you want me to come? When can you give me the best deal? This is how I get the best deals for my tour groups, and this is how you get the best deals as an individual traveler.
So you're going back next year?
Absolutely. I'll be back in March.
Going back to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast?
I think it was a great itinerary. There was nothing wrong with it, except it was a little bit on the cold side.
There's two things you can't control, I guess, traffic and the weather.
Amen.
Amen. Clayton, thank you for joining us today. Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations joining us on The Travel Guys this afternoon to talk about New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
And that's our road report for today. You're listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And coming up after the bottom of the hour news, Mark's interview with the legendary travel author Arthur Frommer. Keep it here.
My love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Start living. It's the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. There's that New York song again. And the reason is because, well, as you know, 2 weeks ago, Mark was in New York for the New York Times Travel Fair and had some great interviews. And, Mark, we still have one left over. Tell me about what we're going to hear today.
Arthur Frommer is about to join us. He sat down with me for a few minutes at the New York Times Travel Show 2 weeks ago. Arthur, of course, has been in the travel industry for 50 years, and he was asked to speak about travel bargains in the U.S.
Yes, I was asked to name the single cheapest destination in the world today, and I said it was obviously Las Vegas. Las Vegas has suffered so badly in the current economic slowdown that the cost of hotel rooms has plummeted downward. The cost of restaurant meals is being discounted far and wide. You can go into any booth on the Strip nowadays and get little coupons that give you a 50% discount over where you eat. And, of course, the entire situation there has been affected by the opening of the new city center development, as it's called. It's a development of high-rise skyscrapers and the like right in the middle of the Strip in Las Vegas, which suddenly has brought 8,000 more rooms to Las Vegas, a destination that didn't need it.
Yeah, as if they really needed more competition on the Strip at this point.
Their tourism is shrinking, and yet right in the middle of this, in the month of December, 2009, suddenly 8,000 rooms are loosed on the market, and 8,000 deluxe rooms, luxury rooms that normally, under normal economic circumstances, would have rented for at least $300 a night.
And yet you have said that they're not getting that sort of price, and you had an interesting theory about how the prices at City Center are kind of capping the prices in Las Vegas.
Well, because the hotels in City Center are as deluxe as can be imagined, you simply cannot conceive of a hotel with more luxury than the Hotel Aria, the Hotel Vidari, V-D-A-R-Y, the various other hotels that have opened in City Center. These are the single most deluxe hotels on Earth. And if they start charging $149 for a weekday stay, then no one else in Las Vegas is able to charge more than $149. They have set the ceiling. And thus it is that we find this very anomalous situation. If you look at the various websites dealing with Las Vegas, you are astonished as to how low are the room rates being charged by the hotels below the deluxe category. And once you go to the tourist class category, once you go to a hotel like the Excalibur, like Circus, like New York, you find room rates of $30 and $40 a night for a room, for two people, a perfectly fine room in a modern, comfortable hotel. So therefore, I named Las Vegas as the cheapest destination on Earth. And, of course, Las Vegas is also serviced by the chief budget-priced airlines of the United States. All the cheap airlines fly to Las Vegas, Spirit Air, AirTran, JetBlue, Southwest. So that if I'm not saying that one should go to Las Vegas. I myself dislike the experience of visiting Las Vegas. But I promised at the New York Times Travel Show that I would be absolutely frank and candid. What was the number one cheap destination of the United States? And I said it was Las Vegas. I was then asked to name number two, and ironically enough, that's Orlando. It, too, is serviced by all of the cheap airlines. Everyone flies there at ridiculously low rates. And once you get there, hotel prices are easily available in the $50 range for a modern motel room capable of housing four people.
Arthur Frommer is joining us this afternoon on The Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman here on KFBK. And Arthur, in talking about Orlando, you had an interesting theory about the Disney properties that I'd not heard before and about how people who sometimes buy a Disney package and get looped into the Disney transportation and give up the rental car suddenly find themselves...
It's diabolical. It's absolutely diabolical. Disney, seemingly out of the goodness of their heart, gives you a free transfer upon arrival at the airport that takes you from the airport directly to your hotel on the grounds of Disney. You never stop to think that by accepting that free transfer, you've given up the chance to rent a car at the airport, and you never again ever do rent a car, which means that for all intents and purposes, you are limited to Disney properties, to the Disney theme parks for your entire stay in Orlando. And, of course, there are wonderful other properties. There is SeaWorld. There is Universal Studios.
Which is not to say that there's anything wrong with the Disney properties. No. The Disney people, being the marketing geniuses that they are, have figured this out, and it's a way of kind of keeping the money in the family, so to speak.
Well, now they're in for a big challenge. Sometime in the month of May, a new theme park within a theme park is opening at Universal Studios based on a certain person named Harry Potter.
Sounds very exciting.
And that is a literary phenomenon that has captured the imagination of people of all ages. I read every Harry Potter book from beginning to end, and yet my 8-year-old granddaughter did the very same thing. We all love Harry Potter. And now there is opening this remarkable new exhibit covering multiple acres of land in the place called Islands of Adventure, with Hogwarts, the famous school where Harry Potter and Ron and Hermione receive their education in wizardry and in witchcraft. It will have a reproduced area of London in which the Muggles live. That's you and me. We're Muggles.
You mentioned a secret helicopter flight where because this is all very secret right now.
Universal Studios was hiding this development until recently. They had a high fence that completely surrounded what they were building in Islands of Adventure. No one was able to see what was going on there. Somebody rented a helicopter and flew over the construction site and took photographs of what was happening below and put those photographs on the internet. And now you can go, if you go to Google and put in Harry Potter at Universal Studios, eventually you'll find photographs, clear, beautiful photographs of everything that is going up. And what is going up is quite remarkable. This is going to be a fascinating exhibit that will take you at least a full day, 2 days possibly, to take a look at. You'll even get to play Quidditch. You'll be able to get on a broomstick and compete with other people on broomsticks in a soccer-like game in the middle of the air.
It's something that perhaps, I mean, Disney has always been big on this, as you were saying, and very much a multi-generational experience.
That's right, and it's going to be a game-changer. It means that Disney is going to face big competition for the first time in its history. Disney, you know, never discounts. Disney holds the price. I wonder whether they're going to be able to maintain that policy in the future. I know that Universal has come out with a 4-day pass for $149, I believe, that gives you unlimited access to all of their theme parks for 4 consecutive days for a very modest sum of money, for $140 for the 4 days. So Disney is in for a battle royal, and it's fun to see this happening.
We're talking with Arthur Frommer here at the New York Times Travel Show in New York. And Arthur, you've been in travel now for 53 years, and you were a lawyer for a few years.
That's right, and I got into travel by accident. I read a little guidebook while I was serving in the U.S. Army overseas, And that book changed my life and catapulted me out of law into travel. I took a little guidebook that I'd written for my fellow GIs, and I civilianized it and called it Europe on $5 a Day. And that book has now led to the publication of a travel book series that consists of over 340 titles that are each published each year in revised editions, and has changed my life, quite obviously. The Frommer travel guides are now the largest-selling travel guides in North America. They account for close to one out of every four travel books that are sold are Frommer travel guides. We work very hard on them.
So look into your crystal ball if you can, Arthur. You've been down this road before. You've seen peaks and valleys in the travel industry. What do you see ahead in 2010? Is it still going to be the year of the bargain?
People are going to continue to search out bargains because they're going to continue to demand their vacations. We have seen in previous recessions that people will put off the purchase of a new refrigerator or of a new car, but they will not put off their vacation. They are determined to travel, and therefore I'm relatively optimistic for the travel industry. We're down by 10-15%, but people are going to find the alternates to Europe. Europe is becoming quite costly. Asia is remaining very inexpensive. Central America is very inexpensive. Many of the capitals of South America.
As you point out, we have destinations right here in our own country that are not as expensive. Mexico has become a good destination. Arthur, I don't want to take any more of your time. I really, really want to thank you. And all the folks in Sacramento, say hello.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, let's travel to Mexico with Pauline Frommer, right here on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Thanks for being here. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK here every other Sunday, 12 to 1 o'clock. Mark, who's next?
Our next guest is Arthur Frommer's daughter, Pauline, and we talked to her about some travel opportunities in Mexico. Pauline, earlier today you were talking about some of the places that folks could visit on a budget, and one of the places that you mentioned was Mexico. And Mexico has had not the best of PR over the last year or so, but you brought up some valid points, I thought.
Well, that's one of the reasons it is cheap. They're not getting as much tourism as they used to, and the peso is very inexpensive against the dollar. But yes, Mexico has had a real black eye in the last year. First the H1N1 virus, then the drug violence on the borders has really stopped a lot of people from going there, which is a shame. It's the third biggest industry in Mexico, tourism is. So they need our tourist dollars. But more importantly, you get a wonderful experience there. But to talk to the travel safety issue, I would not go to Laredo. I would not go to Juarez. I would not go to the border areas of Mexico right now because, yes, there is drug violence there. But you have to remember that the Cancun and Puerto Vallarta are literally 1,000 miles away from where the violence is occurring.
And as you mentioned, we don't say, you know, we're not going to go to New York City because people are murdered there on occasion.
I mean, we wouldn't say you don't go to New York City because there's a lot of violence in Detroit. And I think that is what is the equal of saying I won't go anywhere in Mexico. It's a huge, huge country. And the fact is, if you're going to Cancun, if you're going to Puebla, if you're going to Puerto Vallarta, not one single tourist, not one, has been hurt by drug violence there in the last 2 years, 3 years, whenever. It just has not been happening, but unfortunately there is the misperception that it has been.
Pauline Frommer joining us this afternoon on KFBK on the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. Pauline, it sounds very much like you are becoming the heir apparent in the Frommer travel guide business. Tell me about some of the things, some of the writing, and some of the areas that you've gone into.
Well, the Pauline Frommer guides are the new series within the Frommer series. We have 14 in the series, most in their second edition. And these are the budget guidebooks within the series. They've taken over for the dollar a day guides. I felt that there were a lot of books out there for the Ritz-Carlton crowd and a lot of books out there for backpackers, but very few for the average American who wants to travel on a budget but wants some comfort, doesn't want to sleep in a room with 14 other people or eat ramen noodles to make their budget stretch, but still needs to save money. And so my guidebook series is focused squarely on those folks, and we tell them how you can save money, but do it in a way that actually enhances your experience. For example, in London, you can pay as little as £22 a night to stay in the apartment of an actual Londoner. It's called a private B&B. You get your own room, you get your own bathroom, you get breakfast in the morning, and yet you pay £22 a night, which is exactly what you would pay to stay in a hostel.
The equivalent of about $35, $40 US.
$35 or $45. And so not only do you pay very little, but you get a cultural experience to boot. You get to see what it's like to live in London, in an area where the residents live, where there aren't hotels around, and you eat for less because you're also eating where the residents are. So that's just one example of the types of savings and the types of cultural experiences you find in the Pauline Frommer Guides. And there are Pauline Frommer Guides now to London, Paris, Orlando, Italy, Hawaii, you name it, we're covering it.
And they could be found on the web at?
Frommers.com/Pauline.
FROMMERS/Pauline.
.com.
Thank you, Pauline Frommer, live from the New York Times Travel Show in New York City.
South of the border. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Sounds like a fun place to travel. I feel much better about maybe a trip to Mexico after hearing that.
I certainly wouldn't give up your day job. Speaking of Mexico, let's do something fun right now. We said that we were going to find great diners and drive-ins and stuff like that. So let's introduce our first one into the show. There's a great place down in Oceanside on Old Highway 101 called the 101 Cafe. And John Daly, who's the owner there, is a good buddy of mine. Let's give him a call on the phone right now. What do you say?
101 Cafe.
Hey, John Daly.
Yes, I am.
Hey, it's Mark Hoffman on the Travel Guys.
Hi, John Daly. Tom Romano on the Travel Guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how's life at the 101 Cafe today?
It's good. It's sunny outside. People inside. We're very happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you're in Oceanside. It's always sunny outside.
Oceanside, California, huh? Well, let me see. What's the temperature right now?
Right now, it's probably about 65 degrees.
All right. Is it still breakfast?
Oh, yeah. We still serve breakfast until 11 o'clock. Well, excuse me. We serve breakfast all day.
They have the most amazing menu, Tom, at the 101 Cafe. But really and truly, the milkshakes is what they're known for. The milkshakes there will cause your brain to freeze.
Oh, come on, Mark.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Am I not telling the truth, John?
Hey, you're telling the truth. We serve the old ham-packed milkshakes.
Yeah, you know, with real ice cream and whipped cream on the top.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, man, and burgers to die for.
Well, first of all, before we go any further, tell me when and how did 101 Cafe get started?
You know, back in 1928, a couple started the restaurant here on the old historic Highway 101 to be able to take care of customers that were coming from Los Angeles down to San Diego.
And John, how long have you owned the cafe?
My partner and I, David, have had it for 22 years. That's amazing.
Wow.
Same location?
Oh, yeah. This has been here in exactly the same location. In fact, I'm standing in a portion of the building that was built in 1928 right now.
Now, you mentioned that you have some spectacular hamburgers. Is that right?
People are pretty happy with their burgers.
Now the question is, I figure that the secret to a great hamburger is you've got the same grill, and you've been cooking it on the same grill since 1928. Is that how it works?
Well, we have a flat grill that's about 50 years old now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that's seasoning.
Oh, well seasoned. If this thing was ever gone, we're not sure because it's 6 foot. We could ever replace it. We've never seen another one like it.
And, of course, the 101 Cafe is on historic Highway 101, which is not the main road into San Diego anymore, but a little more pleasant drive. John, tell us a little bit about 101. I know that you're really involved with the old highway, and there's a wonderful stretch down there in Southern California that goes through Oceanside.
Yeah, the portion that goes through here in San Diego County, we start up in San Diego North, is actually one of the most picturesque in the whole state because it's mostly along the water. It's unlike the 101 in some areas that's off the water or is now a freeway up in the Los Angeles area and north to San Francisco. But it's beautiful. It actually, in Oceanside, it touches right next to the water. Some of the cities that you can almost touch the water from the road. So it's beautiful Pacific Ocean views, and you know, it's a great road to travel.
And, John, I know you've got a passion for a certain type of automobile, and you have a special festival down there that involves the highway and your favorite cars. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, every year we put on a big cruise, and the cruise is usually a couple thousand cars cruising here in North San Diego County. We have about a 30-mile route, and it's an incredible ride because it has all types of automobiles. There's no one type that shines more than another, but it's everything from that 57 Chevy you got to have to the Woody to some classic like foreign cars even. You know, we get quite a mix.
John, what's the special for lunch at the 101 today?
Actually, it's our special quesadilla. We make our own chicken dinga dish, which comes down from Mexico. It's a very good dish. So it's just not chicken thrown on a tortilla. We do a really good job with it. It's something that our customers really like.
You know, one of the telltales about a diner is when people come back time and time again. Tell me about some of your regulars.
Well, the thing I like the most in being here a lot is talking to some of the people that are here during World War II and even before that, that come back and have made an effort to come back over and over again. So really, some of those people, even though I like my local people, these people coming back is a real treat for us. We've had couples that have gotten married shortly after or before they've come here and made a trek back, you know, 50 or 60 years later. So it's always a treat to talk to the guests.
John, thanks a lot for giving us a few minutes of your time today. And I hope folks who are listening will, next time they're in Oceanside, will consider a stop at the 101 Cafe. They will get the best road food they have ever eaten.
We'll make it worth their while, and we'll do it with a smile.
All right. Thanks. John Daly from the 101 Cafe in Oceanside with us on the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK, and coming up, more about the next adventures of the Travel Guys. Well, that wraps up another Travel Guys show for a Sunday. Look forward to being back in 2 weeks. What are we going to do?
In 2 weeks, we're going to have our gadget guy, John Holloway, will be joining us. And probably our tour guy, Mr. Whitehead, will make another appearance. And also, Tom, before we go, a quick shout out to my dad in Kansas City who is listening to us today and is really fighting a big battle back there. Love you, Dad.
And you know what? I understand John's actually bringing in some airline seats, and I'm going to see if I can still fit in one. It's the Travel Guys Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.